Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jackie Mack Harris and Becky Brown, and your phone calls, which we're going to go to almost immediately, but it is Martin Luther King Jr. Day today. And what a fascinating and sad life that he lived. But, you know, I think all of us want to, in some way or another, we want to make a difference in the world, and boy, did he ever make a difference in this one. Really amazing. Jackie, when you think about him, what do you think about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when you think about his legacy and what he's done for this country and this world?
I think about his willingness to step outside of the common, right? Like what was expected of him.
Mm-hmm.
And his kind of insistence on having his perspective be heard, like that that mattered, rather than just sitting quietly. And, you know, I believe silence is complicity. You know, it's that, you know, allowing people to continue to do wrong and just sitting silently but expecting something to change. And so I admire Martin Luther King Jr. because he didn't just continue to tolerate the intolerable. He did something about it. My husband and I have a tendency to say, stop talking about it and be about it. And that was that was who he was.
There
he didn't just
go.
Talk about it. He would be about it.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you, he really did make some bold, bold moves and changes. And so we honor him today.
Yeah.
And, you know, like all leaders, he wasn't a perfect man. And none of us, no one in leadership is, but I got to tell you, God's been using imperfect people for a very long time, and he sure did use him.
Yes.
We don't have the world that we want. We don't have the situation we want it to be, but it sure is better.
It is definitely.
And well, and maybe the way that we honor him today is to do something. You know,
yeah.
If silence is complicity, and like you just said, Jackie, stop talking about it and do something and
be
about it.
Be about
and
it.
And just do one thing. And it may not be for, you know, public. It could be in your own private life.
Absolutely. And that's, I think, where best change begins, is in your own life.
Yeah. No question about it. All right. Well, speaking of life, let's jump over here. And how about we go into the life of, Lily, Baltimore, Maryland, WAVA. How are you today? What's going on?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call on Martin Luther King's birthday.
Yeah,
Well, my question is, will you please advise me on the grieving I'm going through because of a severed relationship with my daughter?
What happened?
We had a big conflict on New Year's Eve because I usually babysit for her and her husband's four kids. And I was hesitant because of, like, there's a lot of sickness going around. And she picked up on my hesitancy, and she asked me point blank about it. And this time I told her how I felt, and my daughter is the nicest person I have ever met, and she's been very forgiving of me. I had to leave my my ex-husband, her dad, and that has left a huge hole in her heart. But she's been very forgiving, and now
okay, well,
I notice a change.
Hold on, hold on. We're going to get to all of this right after this break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Glad you're with us today. And right now, we're just hearing about a really tough situation. So, Lily, when you were hesitant about staying with the kids, what was her reaction to that? What did she do?
She used a different type of voice with me, a harshness that I had never heard before.
What'd she say with that harsh voice? What did she say to you?
She said she doesn't want me to talk about any sickness that's going around, and this is how she's dealing with her children, and that's her freedom, and her husband is very adamant about it because he called me right after she talked to me, and she told me that they won't ever ask me to babysit again.
Wow.
And I was still willing to babysit, but I was going to have to take precautions again because there is sickness in the air around, you know, here in Maryland, and I don't want to get sick, and I don't want them to get sick. I've had both vaccines and my booster, but I did get a small case of COVID back in September. So, and I still have, I think I have some after effects, and I don't want to get sick and have to go to the hospital and die.
Well, right. And you're older than them, and you need to be more cautious and careful than they do. So what's the question for us then, given this horrible thing?
You're so compassionate, Steve. Thank you. I just wanted to get your advice, if you could share with me, you know, how to get through this grieving. I'm very upset. For the past 2 weeks, I've been very depressed, and I've had depression before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not eating right. I'm not sleeping, and it's kind of bad.
Yeah.
It's kind of disabling.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm so sorry that it's come to this. And, you know, I think maybe starting with a letter would be a good thing. And then you could decide whether you're going to send it. But I think it would help you to write down how this has impacted you. You were reluctant, but you were willing. You were afraid, but you were willing. Concerned, but willing. And then now you've been told, don't want me to see your kids again. And tell them, it's hurt. I can't. I've had a hard time sleeping. In the midst of all this willingness, this is what I've gotten, and it has really, really hurt me deeply. Jackie, what do you think would be a good addition to this? What do you think she could do?
I like the letter idea, being able to write your thoughts down, because you may not be able to have this conversation with your daughter right now. And I think what you said was, how do you move through the grieving process of this rupture in this relationship with your daughter? It sounds like she's maybe not behaving as you're used to her behaving during this pandemic in relationship to the virus. When you talk about sickness being in the air, I'm assuming you're meaning COVID. You're vaccinated. Maybe they have other thoughts about that. I would say you do need to grieve the rupture in the relationship, but also you get to make your own choices for yourself in the same way she's being really strong about the position that her and her husband are taking for their family. You need to have your position be honored as well. And We have some challenges with talking with people about things that we disagree on. And so maybe in the writing of the letter, there can be like less emotionality in a conversation because you've had an opportunity to kind of put your thoughts down on paper. Should an opportunity arise for you guys to talk about this again in the future, which I hope it does. But being able to validate the other person's perspective, but still expect your perspective to be validated as well, and try to hold that. Don't feel that you've done something wrong here because you spoke up about your own needs, because your needs are as important as the needs of those children and your daughter and son-in-law. And just, I'm just sad for you that you're having to go through this, that you're so hurt. And as Steve said, you're willing, but you had some reservations, and that could have been a conversation. So my hope is that at some point you'll be able to have a conversation with your daughter about maybe next time, maybe we could handle it this way. Because that was unexpected. But definitely being able to take some time, sit with what am I feeling, where do I feel it in my body, why do I feel this way, and what do I need for yourself, so that you can start to articulate your own experiences and your own needs well, whether it's with your daughter or anybody else.
Becky, what are you thinking would be helpful here?
So I had a question for you, Lily. Did your daughter say we're done with the relationship? Or just not babysitting?
She said that they will never ask me again to babysit.
And okay.
And tempers were high.
Right. Okay. And have you guys had a conversation at all since that occurred?
She checked on me a couple days later.
Okay.
Because I ended...
Go ahead, Lily. I'm sorry.
She checked on me. But it got into a little bit of a distraction from our previous talk. It seems like she wants to focus on things that I'm not doing right. Like she said, you know, you live alone, this and that, you don't get out enough. And
okay.
I do get out, not in COVID, but I do get out. And I feel like whatever I say is going to be wrong to her.
I just want to bring up two things. It's very good that she checked on you. It's very good.
Good sign. Mm-hmm. Even though it didn't turn out all perfect and everything, at least she did reach out.
Right. But the other thing, Lily, you mentioned that you have a history of depression. And for some folks, depression can be as devastating as any virus or any cancer. I mean, it can really wreck a life. And what I would like for you to do at this point is I would want for you to connect with a counselor if you didn't already have one in place. This person will help you in this process, but also help you alleviate some of the challenges that this culture right now, you know, this is what we were talking about this earlier today, mm-hmm. that so many fears and anxieties are being surfaced for good reason, for lots of reasons. And yet here's a really important relationship in your life. And you mentioned that your daughter was the nicest person in the world. And yet look at how fear and anxiety has triggered her as well. And so I would encourage you to keep the lines of communication open. Maybe stay away from really hard conversations right now until you get the support that you need. Because it sounds like if she's concerned about you, you know, not getting out, or she feels like, it seems like it's a point of contention, but it's really important for the two of you to be able to get on the same page somewhere in order to heal this relationship.
Oftentimes when people hear our disagreement, they think of it as judgment against them. And so sometimes they get really angry because by you thinking about this differently, it may to her sound like you are thinking that they're doing something wrong or bad. And so now she wants to point out all of your bad and all of your wrong. And so there was the distraction and the sidetrack, so that now the focus is off of the actual problem of we can't have a conversation about the rules or the guidelines around me babysitting without it going to, never mind, I'll never ask you to babysit again. And I agree, Becky, having someone supportive in your corner that you're meeting with regularly around your depression, around communication issues, around managing conflict would be a really good idea when you do go back into these hard conversations with your daughter.
I am really glad that you called, and here's what we're going to do. We've got this workbook that is on grief. You do it with the Life Recovery Bible. I'll send you a workbook on grief, the grieving process, and a Life Recovery Bible, and it's so good to reach out to somebody and do it with somebody else, not just by yourself. And the other thing I want to say is that your daughter and son-in-law really must question their own judgment if they're this defensive. Mm-hmm. Because you'd think they, given you're older and you're a parent, you'd think they'd just do what they think best and know that some people aren't going to agree with that. But boy, they are really on edge over this.
Yeah, that's a good point too, Steve, because, for as long as humans have been walking the earth, we all have different opinions. We have different opinions. And somehow, up until current day, we've been able to have really difficult conversations and manage relationships in a different way than what's happening now. And so, as sad as this is, Lily, you are not the only one, which is, that's really where
that's
the sadness
so
is, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to your point, like politically, you used to have people, your friends would have a different political affiliation. And you just go, they see life different, or that's the way their granddad was, or whatever. Now it's, if we don't have the same politics, you're stupid.
Right.
It's just so different, and don't even want to talk to you because, I'm not going to talk to stupid people that don't think like me. It's just really a different world altogether. And I'm laughing at it, and it's not funny. All right, let's go back to the phones. And how about we talk with, pretty name, Aurora. Not that anybody else's name wasn't pretty, but this Aurora, Boise, Idaho, KBXL is the station. Hello, Aurora, how are you?
Fine, how are you guys?
Excellent. Good. What's going on?
My question is that I have a son that's an addict, and I just know he's going to die.
What kind of addict is he?
He used to do heroin. He kind of tried everything, but right now he's really stuck on that fentanyl.
Oh, boy. And so where is he, and where are you? Do you live near each other?
I can't have him come to my home because he's very destructive. And, he even told my daughter once that she was thinking about tying me up.
Oh, boy.
Stupid stuff like that. So I just told him, when you stop getting high, and then you're more than welcome to come over. And I haven't been the perfect parent, but I've always been there for him,
What's the question for us, then? What is your question for us?
What can I do? What can I do? Is there any resource here in Boise? I look, there's nothing. Nobody knows anything. It's like people, I'm the type of mother that I don't care. I tell them, he called me a cop caller. I said, yeah, because the people that cover up for you don't love you. I said, they're the people that call the cops are the people that love you because they want to see you get better.
Yeah. And I bet he's really receptive to that, isn't he?
He went back to prison twice. You see, and right now he's not on probation, so he don't care.
Do you give him any money?
I don't give him a penny. I'll buy him a lunch or something, but I'll buy him the food.
Aurora, do you do any of your own recovery work?
Like, what do you mean?
Well, a lot of times, we encourage people who are families of folks who are struggling with addiction to get into either Narcanon, Life Recovery, Al-Anon. There's a lot of support out there that can help you in these times. Because if he is determined to destroy himself, which is how you started the call, you are going to need that support. Yeah. Right now, you just cannot believe that he is acting this way, when in reality, he's not in his right mind.
Or left. Mind has left due to fentanyl, and it's one of the toughest things to battle. And,
I threatened him that I was going to take the cops over there to his house, And I go, I know you're getting high there, and you got a bunch of people there getting high if you don't go to the doctor. So that's the only reason he went to the doctor. And I was there, and I told the doctor everything. I didn't let him lie about anything.
Oh,
you know,
good
I told
for you.
The doctor, and he, yeah, and he was like, yeah, listen to her. She knows it all. And
is this the doctor that's giving him fentanyl? Is this doctor giving him fentanyl?
Okay.
Good guy. All right. We'll talk more about this afterwards.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn, you're really glad that you're with us today. And let's just, well, I want to suggest to Aurora that she go back to that physician that he went to, just by yourself, and you make an appointment, and you tell that physician you need his help. What can he do?
Well,
Who can he recommend?
He has an appointment on the 19th. He said, I just have to threaten him. But like I tell him, I'm 64 years old. I said, you're wearing me out. I'm not going to die from diabetes or anything. I'm going to die from you giving me
right.
a heart attack.
Aurora,
well,
that
true.
Is the reason why you have to have that support from the groups that I'm talking about. You have to have that community. And the other part of that, too, is it's going to teach you how to let him make the decisions. You're trying to reason with someone who is not, well, I said they were not in their right mind. Steve said left mind. Fentanyl affects the way that you think. And so even though he is responding to a threat, you know, of calling the cops, I'm going to tell him, and then he goes to the doctor, that's just a game at this point. But you need the support from other people.
And, you know, Jackie, you were making you had a great point there at the break. Talk to her about what happens when you start getting in these communities and working with other folks.
Right. If you can get yourself involved in a recovery program, then you're going to be meeting people who have the resources you're wanting for your son. And so one of the best things you can do for you is to start a recovery program for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to understand, the drug is telling him he needs it to survive.
Right.
He's not concerned about you getting sick because of your stress about him, because he believes if as long as he does what he's doing and he's in control of it, of course, right, he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
You're just worrying. So your worry isn't helping his addiction. So redirect that energy towards healing for yourself, for your own personal stability. Find some resources for you, and by doing so, there'll be a trickle-down effect. If he then turns this thing around and decides he wants to get help, you'll have some connections to some people you can refer him to.
I'm so glad you called, and I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible, two of them, one for him, one for you. And I've got a understanding and loving a person with drug and alcohol addiction. I've got that book I'm going to send to you. I hope that's going to be helpful, and I'll send Take Your Life Back to you. All of those things are things that will, I believe they'll help you if you'll read them, and we've got them available to anybody that wants them. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is that number. Let's go back to the phones. We've got so many phone calls here. Let's go to Carol, Union Grove, Wisconsin. She watches on YouTube. Carol, you're on. How could we help today?
Yeah, I have a question. So my ex-husband and I got divorced, and we have two kids together. But then we ended up, you know, just trying to raise the kids separately, and I have kids with special needs. It was too hard. So we ended up reconciling. We actually have a house together and the kids, but we never actually remarried. Now, neither one of us have been with anyone else since we divorced, so we've still been faithful. We just never actually remarried. He's saying there's no need to remarry because, you know, he talks about, like, he showed me, like, scriptures in the Bible, like, where it says that if you get divorced and marry another, it's committing adultery. And he's saying, well, you can't commit adultery. So he's like, well, since that basically we're still married. Otherwise, it wouldn't be considering adultery if one of us remarried.
What's the big deal? What's the reluctance to get married on his part? Like, really, really? Why do you think he doesn't want for you guys to get remarried?
Well, our relationship isn't the healthiest. I mean, we are arguing a lot. He's an alcoholic, and that's one of the main reasons I left. He's not abusive, though. He's not abusive. It's just, you know, someone that's like buzzed up every night and doesn't remember half of what we talked about. It's just, you know, it's stuff like, and then I have a lot of emotional problems, I have to admit, because of my childhood trauma. So I think we just make each other worse, and it's not good for the kids to see us fight. But the reason I left in the first place was, you know, after I left, with my kids' special needs and my emotional problems, I figured, you know what, it's even worse living away from him because I couldn't, it was too hard for me without him there to help redirect the kids. So I ended up, you know, getting back with him.
Okay.
Gosh, Carol.
So, yeah, go ahead. I have some thoughts. I'll share them later.
I was just thinking, you answered the question I was going to ask, though, Carol, of why the divorce in the first place. Here's what you're doing. You're settling because you don't feel like you have any other options, and life is coming at you so quickly that you don't even know where to begin. The answer to his statement about not being remarried because it would be adultery, that is false. Like, I don't know why he's making that up, but that doesn't even have anything to do with anything. But right. If he is an alcoholic, that's a bigger problem in the relationship, because just as you said, you're not connecting. And so you're going to have to find support for yourself as you kind of go through this process of, should we, you know, stay together? I mean, who knows if that's really going to happen, but you're going to need some help. And I know that sounds like a really simple statement to make, but you can't do this on your own. And it sounds like that's the kind of person you are. You're just going to take it all on yourself and try to make it better.
Your kids are counting on you, but they can't tell you that. They don't know how.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And I just want to say one thing here, Carol. You still with us?
Okay.
So here's the answer.
I thought
here's
we got cut off.
No, here's the answer. Your husband, well, former husband, current partner, he needs to stop drinking and get into recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you see, he's not just somebody that can help you with the kids. He's a person that can be in a relationship with you, and you guys can have a real marriage. But you're settling. And he's willing to settle for anything other than to be alone. And he's manipulating you, because that's what addicts do. He'd be a different human being if you were willing to say to him, we have to stop what we're doing until you stop what you're doing.
And I would say not in a crisis too, Carol. It sounds like that's what you guys are doing, is any discussions you have, he's either drunk and not engaged, or it's a crisis moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to create a plan and a process of moving forward in a sane and sober way, which, you know, seems ironic, but that's, you can't have all this crisis all the time thinking that anything's going to be different. And I would suggest going to the Emotional Freedom Workshop for you to begin with, to get that started, but also recovery. Go ahead, Jackie.
And that was just the question about, are you still married according to God? His use of that scripture stating that if you remarry after divorce, you are causing that person to commit adultery. So he's saying clearly we must still be married. Otherwise, it wouldn't be adultery to go and be with someone else. So he's not ready to renew those vows. He's not ready to remarry. And you are divorced legally. And so the answer to that question is no, we're not married. We're divorced. You would have to go and get married again to be married legally again.
And if you were just to say, let's go get married.
Legally, we're married.
You're not married legally.
Does this mean I have to stay single for the rest of my life if I don't?
No.
If I can't make things work with him?
No.
Because if I were to remarry, it's committing adultery.
Christ went to the cross because we are not going to get this thing right.
Mm-hmm.
We are all sinners and all fall short of God's glory. When you repent and seek forgiveness, God will respond the way God always responds. Don't let anyone else twist that for you. Ultimately, you have to make some decisions about what's best for your life. And the Bible's not intended to be used as restraints.
Well, and you know, Carol, he's also keeping you in a stagnant place. You're fearful of moving forward. You're taking directions from someone who has no control of his life.
Right. He's giving you instruction, but yet he can't make healthier choices for himself. And so it's restraining you. You feel stuck because you don't want to commit adultery or cause someone else to commit adultery. Spend some time in recovery for yourself and then consider relationships down the road once you have a healthier mindset. Because
I don't have anyone else in my life.
Well, here's the thing. The last thing you need to be dealing with right now is whether or not you can remarry. If you were to say to him, you either get better, get some help, you get into recovery, or I'm out of here, and then he says, okay, leave, or he leaves, and then he remarries, then, you know, you are free to remarry under anybody's definition. But I wouldn't even be thinking about that. I would be thinking about what could I do to make the situation better for me, my kids, and him. And I would be going to Al-Anon. I would be getting into my own recovery, look at my enabling, my dependency, codependency, and I would start getting better. And then I would demand that he get into recovery rather than maintain status quo the way it is. That, to me, is key. Take your life back, coming your way, and I'm really sorry for what you're having to go through with him. Larry Sonnenberg is here, and Larry, what do you have for us here today?
Steve, it's Emotional Freedom Week. This is the week that we do this. This coming Saturday, and if you haven't signed up, the clock is ticking. I know you need to, so give us a call. And if you can support this ministry because we do things like this, please do so. Quick testimony.
Yeah.
From one of the more recent workshops. I've learned that we're not meant to isolate ourselves because God created us to be connected to Him and others. The unhealthy strategies I've developed to avoid pain just keep me stuck. Trusting God and others builds character, brings wholeness. It's time to face reality instead of faking that all is well. I believe this weekend's the first step of a journey into new life. So, folks, this is your chance. Call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. Tell them you want to know more about this and sign it up. It's one day. Doesn't matter how far away you live. You don't have to get on an airplane. You don't have to make a hotel reservation. You can do this and get a new journey started today.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to start that new journey or you want to help us help somebody start that new journey, it is that same number. And we'll send you the one-year life recovery prayer devotional, brand new. We'll send that to you. All right, let's see what else we can deal with here in the next few minutes. Let's go to Jennifer, Palo Alto, California, and there's an app, the New Life app. That's where she listens. Hi there, Jennifer. How are you today?
Hello, fine.
Good. How could we help today?
How will the Emotional Freedom Workshop help me if I don't know what my issues are?
Oh, well, that's a great reason to come. And so if you don't know what the issues are, but you're feeling down or anxious or uncomfortable, is that right? But you don't know why you're feeling that way. Yeah?
Yeah.
How are you feeling? What are the emotions that you experience?
Not really sure.
Mm-hmm. But you don't feel like this is the life you were meant to live this way, feeling this way?
Exactly.
Yeah. So we've been doing this a long time with our great clinicians, and it might come about that you would discover the source by something in a talk that either Jackie Mac Harris or Chris Williams or myself would give. But often it's working with the counselors that are going to work with you where you come to see things in a different light. Like you might say, well, my relationship with my mom was really good. That isn't it. And now, is that true? You and your mom had a great relationship?
No.
No. And what was the problem with that relationship? Was she a tough woman or distant, not available? What was that?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes I think it was all I knew, so it was normal. Seeing her slightly different, you know, now, or she's human, but it doesn't. I'm not sure.
My question, Jennifer, is what is your interest? What piqued your interest in the workshop?
I guess I don't feel emotionally free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to guess that. A lot of times, because you're real quick with your answers, real one-word, short answers, that just means there's a lot of pain that's inside that you're afraid to open up, because once the dam breaks, then it's all going to be out there, and you need a safe place to kind of explore these feelings and to really understand what is inside of you. And I would think that this would be a great opportunity, because, you know, Larry just said this, you won't have to travel anywhere, but yet you're going to experience the support of community and in a safe place where you can learn how it can help you and begin a process.
And spend some time with searching out the answers to questions you say, I don't know to. It's okay that you don't know the answers right now, but this will give you an opportunity to spend some time trying to find the answers within yourself.
Well, I've said this before, said it last week. Clarity really is so helpful in the healing process. And so being able to say, I'm not clear about what all this is, where it comes from, what would be a better way or a path. So at least when you come, there'll be clarity when you leave. And to me, that's the beginning of true hope and healing. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and just finishing up with Jennifer. Jennifer, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to give you a scholarship to that Emotional Freedom Workshop. It's online. Mm-hmm. You don't have to pay for it. You just have to be online, sign up for it. Hold on. We'll get you signed up for it. And I think it's going to be an amazing time for you. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Stacy, Club New Life member from Denver, Colorado. Hi, Stacy. How are you today, and what's going on in your life?
Hello. Yes, I was calling about my son, who is 15 years old and thinks he's gay, mm-hmm. or wants to be gay. I hear this call coming in often.
Yeah.
And I think that what is said, maybe not in these words, that it could be a phase that they're going through. But I am really struggling as far as how we can talk to him, or how we talk to him. What can we do?
Yeah.
Because it's, I can't even imagine it, like, you know, really, I'm really having a hard time. And the reason I found out so much more is because he's had friends over here recently. He's going to a new school. And I didn't think much when the friends were here. But after yesterday, even after they left, and he starts talking about things like, this so-and-so are dating,
yeah.
and, you know, the two boys, and I'm just like, and so then I start, I was going to shut his phone off the other night because he fell asleep on the couch,
uh-huh.
and these messages started popping up, so I started going in and reading further and finding things.
Yeah, so I went
from zero.
Yeah, so it's pretty shocking, isn't it?
Very shocking.
And I don't think that we've said that this is just likely a phase he's going through. That actually, 10 years ago, might have been an answer we could give more often. But today, first of all, there's this all the content that they have access to. That says, if you feel a certain way, you are a certain way. It's not just a feeling that might come or go. It's your identity. And then there's contact. So you go from content to some kind of contact. Like you said, he has friends. They've come over. Now you discover their guys are dating guys. And then there's connection and community, and it is really, really hard for a person like him who's had feelings, and then those feelings get reinforced, and you're told just, you can't help how you feel, just go with it. That is the message that he's getting. And the best thing that you can do is, first of all, he needs to know you're going to be there for him no matter what. No matter what, you're there. That putting shame onto him, and which is different than talking about, you know, what God intends, what's best and all. Putting shame, that doesn't help. He needs to be able to come to you and tell you what he's going through so you can go through it with him. But it is so hard in this day and age. Jackie, Becky, what are you guys thinking? What's something you could say to her that might make a difference?
My answer to your question, what do I do? Keep loving your son. Be in relationship with your son. Don't let someone else be more community for him than you are. And so if he's confused and he has questions, he has a safe person to go and ask the questions. If he's experiencing things that don't make sense to him, or that are things that don't make sense to you, you can still be there for him to talk to. Otherwise, he'll find a different community to do that in. And you want him to have a safe landing place. Whichever decisions he decides to make as he goes through his life, you want to be a place where he knows he can He can change his mind. He can talk to you about anything. He can come and learn with you and not know the answers to things with you. Mm-hmm. Just keep loving your son.
Stacy, I wonder, is your husband involved? Is his dad involved in his life?
He is, yes.
Okay, and so I think, I love what you just said, Jackie, and back to what you said, Steve, about the content and the connection, it'll be really important for the two of you to connect with your son. At 15 years old, the challenge is that we live in a hypersexual culture.
Yes.
And so he's going to have natural feelings develop because he's a 15-year-old male. But what's happening is they get directed really quickly. If we weren't talking about his feelings of being gay and he was directing that towards a female, we would be saying the same thing. Yeah. Slow down. You're 15. This is something that when you get older, and of course in, you know, our belief system, it's when you're married, that's when we're talking about, you know, connecting sexually. But there are a lot of steps between, you know, that and having sex. But I think it gets really confusing for 15-year-olds because their hormones are, you know, raging. You feel these strong connections with people. And in this culture, anything is okay. And so those are lots of conversations yeah. without condemning. And you want to create that space that it's safe for him to ask you or even to give him an out. I know when I was raising my kids who are now all older, we had a guideline for dating. You couldn't date before you were 16. Now, there's no magic date with turning 16, but it was just a barrier that we created so that they could say, you know, if somebody was coming out to, oh, I can't date till, you know, whatever. So those are kind of conversations that can kind of give him some security to be able to make choices that fit for him as the years go on. And it will help that you won't create a crisis that, you know, drives him to someone else, whether that's a parent yeah. or another home.
Now, the reason that this is so difficult is because he doesn't think you know what you're talking about. You
right.
may know a lot of things about how to work and stuff, but when it comes to sexuality, the social media or the person sitting next to him on the bus, they have more authority than you do. Mm-hmm. They have more insight than you do because you're old-fashioned.
And because parents don't talk about sex with their kids.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's where this has really, really become so difficult, is that essentially when it comes to sexuality, any thought you have is totally discounted and is overruled by the values or the lack of values in social media. And so you have to tell your child, hey, listen, I get it. You think we don't know what we're talking about. You think that this is a new way of looking at life. Well, let me tell you something. This is the way things were in the days of the Romans.
Right.
We are not old-fashioned. In fact, what you're doing is actually a very old-fashioned way of living that proved to be defective and deficient and destroyed many lives. And we love you. And we're trying to protect you from that. Look who's old-fashioned now.
Mm.
You need some help, you call us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We love you. Thank you, Jackie. Thanks, Becky.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.